We come today to the end of the church year, the last Sunday after Pentecost, Christ the King Sunday. Through this past year, we have traveled the course of the gospel, marked for us by the creed. We have stood at the stable, in the waters of baptism, at the cross, in the garden of resurrection, and in the upper room as the Holy Spirit swept down like wildfire. At this church year's end, we turn our sights now toward the ultimate end, also marked for us by the creed. We open our arms to welcome the last day when he will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We look for the life of the world to come. On this last Sunday, we hear about the last day from the last book, the book of Revelation. John of Patmos has seen that day in a vision. John declares, oddly and despite appearances, that Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. The rulers are themselves ruled. John seems to stretch out his finger and point, saying, "Look, all of you, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him." And then, as might be anticipated, the gospel reading deals with the events in the last days of the earthly ministry of Jesus. Our Lord faces the trial before the Roman governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate. Jesus has already been through a tortuous time. He was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane while in prayer with a few of his followers, and then taken to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest and chief religious leader of Jerusalem, for torturous questioning. For whatever reason, the religious leaders decided not to sentence Jesus to death for blasphemy, teaching false religious doctrine. Instead, they sent him across town to the secular authority, Pontius Pilate, and informed him that Jesus was guilty of treason, that is, trying to overthrow Roman rule. Pilate, trying to figure this out, attempts to get at this issue of treason, saying, "Have you claimed to be king of the Jews?" If Jesus had, he would be guilty of treason. The Romans decided who was to be king, not itinerant Jewish preachers. Personally, what intrigues me most about this conversation is the calmness of Jesus. He has already been beaten. He must know by now that he will not escape this ordeal with his life. Yet Jesus calmly answers Pilate's questions. "My kingdom is not of this world," he says. Aha, Pilate jumps at the comment. "So you do claim to be a king." Essentially, Jesus says, "If that's what you want to believe, if that's what you want to hear, think of me as a king if you must." How can we understand the confidence with which Jesus faced that moment? Listen to how he responds. "For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." In these words, Jesus reveals the source of his calm, his confidence to face even his own death. He had a purpose in life, and at that moment when he faced death, the pursuit of that purpose sustained him. "For this I was born." Jesus knew what God had called him to do in life, and he went about doing it. That's what empowered him. That's what gave him his strength. He had a direction. He had a purpose. He had a reason for living. What was true for our Lord and what was true for our King is true for every one of us as well. To live courageously and to live confidently, we need to understand that God has a purpose for our lives. If you want to live victoriously, we need a purpose. We need to pursue that purpose. When we do, our life has direction. It has power. Too many people don't understand or practice this principle. Instead, they just kind of wander from day to day. They don't know where they're going. They don't have any goals. They have no particular purpose for their lives. And consequently, they don't live confidently and they don't live courageously. Pastor Robert Quinney illustrates this principle as he writes, "When we lived in northern Michigan, we spent many Sunday afternoons at Walloon Lake. About 50 years ago, National Geographic magazine listed it as one of the world's 10 most beautiful lakes. Beautiful. At the little park where we picnicked, there was an outlet to that lake that started the Bear River. Before seeing that, it never occurred to me that lakes start rivers, as well as serve as the place where the rivers end. The Bear River starts there at Walloon Lake and ends at Lake Michigan. The state highway between those points is only about 9 miles. The Bear River, on the other hand, is 50 to 60 miles long. In that same span, it wanders lazily back and forth and back and forth like a snake relaxing in the sunshine. As you know, a winding river is shallow and without much power or direction. The Bear River is that way until it gets about a quarter of a mile from Lake Michigan. Then the banks narrow, the river deepens, and the current moves more and more rapidly until the river empties into Lake Michigan as a roaring torrent. Upstream, a fallen tree turns the direction of the river, causing it to cut a new path. When the banks narrow and the river has purpose, it carries fallen logs with it rather than being changed by those logs. People are like that. People are like that. Some folks just drift along. They don't have any particular goals or purpose for living. They just wander back and forth like a lazy river winding through the sunshine. But like the meandering river, they have little strength, they have little power, they have little discernible direction. Any log, that is to say, any obstacle at all, can turn these people in any new direction. And in his famous quote from Yogi Berra, "If you don't know where you're going, you're probably going to end up someplace else." We need to understand that God has created each of us with a purpose. As Jesus said, "For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world." If you want to experience confidence in living, you need to pursue the purpose God has for your life. And actually, you know, I don't believe there's really a great mystery about that. Basically, I think in many ways, God creates us all for the same purpose: to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Basically, the same purpose. All we need to do is to find the best way to practice that purpose, to love and to serve. Find the best way to practice that global purpose. Don't miss the point, though, until we are living by that purpose, formulating and pursuing goals related to that, that sense of identity, that sense of purpose, that sense of who I am in God and what God has called me to do. That purpose to love and serve. Until we are living by that purpose, we never can experience really the real confidence and effectiveness possible in our lives. Very important. This is for what I was born. This is who I am. This is what God has called me to do. To live by this purpose, to love and to serve.